Hello, and welcome to Tendersmith. I'm Brian. And we're talking about the Dunbar limit. It's definitely a concept that not a lot of people are aware of outside of anthropology, but it's pretty fantastic as a concept, and I like to use it to help people be kinder to themselves. But anyway, so tell us about the Dunbar limit. Well, we'll first introduce it, and I'll connect it. Okay. So the Dunbar limit is 145 to 250 people in relation to. Yes, but what's it relating to? Okay, cool. So the reason why this is important is because it's kind of a observed phenomena where social groups, tribes, clans, hunter-gatherer groups, even just kind of social groups within modern society are kind of limited to this soft upper limit of about 250 people, because the phenomena that's observed is that it's kind of hard to keep tabs on that many people. And the reason why, so bringing that concept around, helping people to be a little bit kinder to themselves, it's hard to remember names. It's hard to remember specifics about people. And so sometimes when I'm talking with somebody and they blank on my name, or they forget somebody else's name, or they're having a hard time remembering some specific details, I remind or sometimes just teach them about the Dunbar limit, although I keep on forgetting the name of it for the life of me. Yes, exactly. But the concept is that, there's a finite limit that each individual has of the number of people that they can kind of perceive in their memory and mind, whatever that thing is that's called the mind. So if you space on someone's name, even if it's somebody that you're related to or that you quote unquote should remember, whatever that should is, it's okay. It's okay. Have a little compassion for yourself. Be a little bit kinder to yourself. Don't beat yourself up. And understand that, all these descriptions that people have about memory being like a hard drive or a filing cabinet or a this and the other, they're all hypothetical constructs that people come up with to try to explain something that is nothing like that. Memory... Ooh-wee, say that 20 times fast. All right, well, there you go. So, yeah, physical characteristics, specifically like minor physical characteristics. So, like for example, when I'm thinking about you, Bob, because you know we're living a state apart, and I don't see you frequently. I typically remember that big old smile of yours. For my wife, I kind of the characteristics that I recall for her typically are her cheekbones in relation to her nose and her mouth. It typically is some sort of smaller facial characteristic that kind of helps to identify. Because I kind of broke it down years and years ago. Like, how is it that I remember these things? And the less frequently that I see images or directly that individual, the less likely I will be to recognize them. And names are particularly difficult for me because if I'm not using it on a regular basis, then I'll forget the name. So that's me personally, but I don't fall within the neurological mean, or as some people would say, neurotypical. Although I hate that term. Never. I think if you were to call on heaven, heaven would ignore you. But I know a fella from down south who might be able to help you with name recall for a little timeshare right on your soul. My friend, he doesn't want your soul. He just wants timeshare rights to it, okay? He just wants a little bit of your time. A little bit of your time. All right. I'm out of here. I'll meet you at the crossroads, okay? Anyways, so Dunbar limit. So neurological mean. I want to explain this idea real quick. So, there's a concept called neurodiversity that's kind of up and coming. It's the idea that neurological networks of humans are not all identical, no duh, and that you get a diversity of neurological types or neurotypes, and that autism, the neurotype, and autism spectrum disorder, the disorder, are not the same thing. That one can be autistic and not disordered. And that neurotypes also fall under some other categories. Like, for example, there's a proposal that ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is a disorder of a neurotype, and that somebody could have the, I'd like to call it extreme multitasker neurotype, but if there's no stimulus control or I guess you could say instructional control, I don't know. I'm probably using those terms wrong. But if there's no structure in place to reinforce beneficial usage of the neurotype, that it can cause a disorder. Disorder meaning it's causing some level of discomfort for the individual, and don't know, because it's kind of up and coming. It's a kind of a proposed theory. I've tried looking to see if I could find studies on it, but I haven't really tried that hard. But it's definitely striking a note for the zeitgeist. I will say that. So I can't speak with too much authority on it, but I personally like the idea, which means I have a bias. But one of the things I don't like, and the reason I bring up the topic in regards to the idea of saying neurological mean, is that there's a term that's being thrown around inside the neurodiverse community, which typically involves people who are autistic, of neurotypical, and it's abbreviated as NT, and it's used as a slur as much as it's used to describe people. And I don't like it because it's... I know you're never getting rid of that behavior, but I am. It's frustrating because it's creating... the term neurotypical is an inaccurate descriptor because it implies that there's a, quote, typical way that brains are structured, and so it also implies that somebody who is neurotypical, there's only one neurotypical neurotype. There is a possibility of that, but I want to finish the thought before we go into how do we define typicality as a question, because I prefer the term neurological mean, because that allows for the concept that there can be more than one neurotype operating within the mean of neurotypes. So, imagine a bell curve. Exactly, and that's kind of what I'm going for is the idea that there's those number of dials. Now, typicality refers to being able to operate within social structures. So it's kind of a typicality is very subjective to the culture of the people that the individuals are operating in. So typicality has a lot of implications. And I argue that the distribution of people who are able to operate within the typical expectations of typical society, meaning a general group of people operating within a polite or established rule set structure, you get variations within those people. You get people who are introverts. You get people who are extroverted. You get people who are more empathetic. You get people who are less empathetic. You get sociopaths and psychopaths who are capable of operating within the structure, but maybe reveal themselves a little bit here and there with their atypical behaviors. But generally, they can... Exactly. And so... I'm arguing that neurological mean is a more accurate descriptor because we see behaviors, and we see behaviors that deviate from a norm from one person's perspective to another person's perspective, but still fall within their neurological mean. radical behaviorism type. This is kind of outside that bailiwick, but it is not outside the bailiwick of apply contextual behavior science, which is within the realm of behavior. Like, behaviorism covers these ideas somewhat, sort of. It talks mostly about, it addresses mostly function, like questions of function, what is the function of the behavior, that sort of thing. While applied contextual behavior science looks more directly at questions of the context. Let's try to understand context and how those things apply. And so it's not an exclusionary. It's not that we're trying to be exclusionary, but rather behavior analysis, with the exception of experimental behavior analysis, which is a little bit different. It's really concerned with describing what it sees. So bringing this around full circle, the Dunbar limit is a fascinating concept, and it's definitely something that I think needs to be explored a lot more in contextual behavior science settings, and perhaps even considered when doing applied behavior analytic type stuff in relation to socially significant behaviors. And I'm very curious to see how the Dunbar limit varies between different neurotypes. I would like to... I need to research more on it, but I will say that it's a fairly well discussed concept. Well, I'll leave it at that because I don't want to make any claims that I don't know shit about. What was that, bud? For people who are social savants, you know, there's a possibility. Yeah, like it's a fascinating idea, and I definitely want to research and explore it more. But the entire point of our discussion at this point is to learn together. The more you know. Hey, that's the time limit.